What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Wednesday, July 4th, 2018. Happy Independence Day. And we have got a lot of stuff to be talking about today. We're going to talk about Independence Day itself right here at the top of the show here. But the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And because it is a holiday, the lovely Lady Claire will be joining us in hour number three today. Just to help fill in and give me a chance to kind of kick back into vacation mode here. So let's get on into it. Again, today is the, I think it's the 242nd birthday of the United States of America. And for a lot of people, it's about, you know, getting on out. It's the fireworks, sporting events, a day off. Post office is closed, bank is closed. And it seems that actually thinking about what Independence Day really means has kind of faded away. And I think that is by design. And you need to go back and realize the tremendous sacrifices that the people who signed the Declaration of Independence went through. It wasn't just words on that sheet of hemp paper. A lot of the signers of the Declaration suffered greatly during and after the Revolution. Five of the signers were captured by the British as traitors and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons serving in the Revolutionary Army. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships of the Revolutionary War. They weren't just kidding when they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to the cause of freedom. Now, 24 of the signers were lawyers and jurists. 11 were merchants. 9 were farmers, large plantation owners. 1 was a doctor, my ancestor. John Hancock, of course, sold insurance. But they signed the Declaration of Independence knowing that if they lost the Revolution, they would be hanged as traitors. So many of them had their homes burned, and it was a huge amount of suffering. But they were willing to pay that price to have that freedom, to get away from a predatory private central bank. If you remember reading Ben Franklin, he says, one of the major causes of the American Revolution was King George III's Currency Act, which ordered the colonies to abandon their own honest monetary system and conduct business with banknotes borrowed at interest from the Bank of England. And the reason they don't teach that in the schools anymore is we're now back under that same system as of a little more than 100 years ago. We're back in that same banker slavery. And as we celebrate our freedom, there are reasons to understand we're not really all that free anymore. Freedom means, you know, you do what you want as long as you're not hurting somebody else. These days, you have to get government permission for pretty much everything. If you're working, you have to have work permits for minors. You have to have licenses for all kinds of professions, hairdressers and so forth. Special permits if you're handling food. The list goes on and on. And those permits are not handed out for free. It's another moneymaker for the government. If you're going to travel across this country by interstate bus, the railways, the airways, you have to show an ID. You have to prove who you are to the government. You have to get a license from the state to get married. They also come at a price. If you want to hunt or fish your own food, there's a permit for that that costs money. Just going on out on a holiday like today, having fun, going on out with your watercraft, your houseboats, kayaks, jet skis, fishing boats, all of them need a permit, which costs money. And anyone caught without the valid permits can be subjected to fines and even confiscation of their watercraft. You have to have a pass to go into the national park system, which is technically the property of the American people. Those cost money. Now, back in colonial times, Americans complained they were forced to provide room and board to British troops. It made the war less costly for King George III, and it also allowed the placing of British officers in the homes of people whose loyalty was not really trusted. And let me fix something here. Sorry about the interruption. I'm doing too many things here at once. Anyway, so the Quartering Act was to put officers in the homes of Americans whose loyalty was in doubt. To be spied on was an invasion of privacy and a violation of property rights. And that is why the Constitution and the Bill of Rights forbade not only the quartering of troops, but also included that little provision in the Fifth Amendment that your property cannot be taken for use of the government without fair and just compensation. A little part of the Fifth Amendment our government no longer respects because they're using all of our electronics to take the place of those British officers. We're being spied on all the time using our computers, using our phones, our tablets, our electricity, and we're not being compensated for it. And thanks to Edward Snowden, we know there are at least three major spying programs that are collecting the private conversations, internet searches, and movement data of all citizens in the United States all of the time. So we've lost much of the gift that we were given by those founding fathers. And we're coming dangerously close to living in a police state, much like that described by George Orwell in 1984, much like that we lived under back when they signed the Declaration of Independence. Now, a lot of people talk about the Declaration, they talk about the Bill of Rights. A lot of people actually haven't really read them closely. And that makes it really dangerous because in the Common Core curriculum, many of those 10 amendments have been rewritten, supposedly to clarify the language. But in one notorious case, they changed the Second Amendment to say that you have a right to keep and bear arms if you are in a government militia, which is absolutely not what the Second Amendment says. All right, we're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates rejoining the network. We're celebrating July 4th. We're talking about the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. So let's talk about the First Amendment. And it says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, I see this one misquoted all the time by religious people who are saying the government is not allowed to pass laws controlling the churches. That's not what it says. It's not saying a law regarding an establishment of religion. It says a law respecting an establishment of religion. In other words, Congress cannot pass a law saying we are granting this one religion special status, in other words, a state religion. That's what's being forbidden. Then the First Amendment goes on to abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, the reason the founding fathers did this, they were only a few generations removed from the Catholic versus Protestant problems in Great Britain, and how very close it came to tearing apart that country. And the founding fathers knew their new country, the United States of America, was still in its infancy, and they didn't want to have any religious wars. And so the way they denied religion from having civil power was to grant equal status to all religions. And religions are not allowed to have civil power. The First Amendment was written to build a wall of separation against the church and the state. And many of the colonists had come to the colonies to escape religious intolerance. And that's why that was put in there. No one religion would receive preferential treatment over any other. There would be no state religion in the new nation. Now, this is probably going to become an issue because we're seeing a lot of these Muslim refugees, both in Europe and the United States, calling for the imposition of Sharia law to become the law of the land. And that will definitely fly in the face of that First Amendment. Now, contrary to what you may have been told, the Founding Fathers themselves weren't all very religious. Thomas Jefferson once said, "I do not find in Orthodox Christianity one redeeming feature." John Adams said, "The government of the United States is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion." And Thomas Paine had written, "All national institutions of churches, whether Jewish, Christian, or Turkish, appear to me no other than human inventions set up to terrify and enslave mankind and monopolize power and profit." Now, the provision of the First Amendment regarding free speech and free press was intended not to protect lies, but to protect the truth. We've actually had politicians in this day and age say that when they lie on the campaign trail, that's protected speech. No, it isn't. It's a lie. The First Amendment protection for freedom of speech in the press was to protect the truth from those in power for whom truth is a threat. Now, with that right to freedom of speech and freedom of the press does come a responsibility, which unfortunately in the corporate media we have seen fall away, the responsibility to present accurate news to the public. And instead, the corporate media has itself become one of the largest purveyors of myths and legends in our society. Now, let's talk about the Second Amendment. That one reads, "A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed." Now, in the days when this amendment was written, the militia meant every adult able to bear arms. And a lot of people are going to say, "Well, that's sexist because only the men were allowed guns." No, there wasn't. Do you know, during the American Revolution, there was actually a woman, Molly Pritchard, who commanded an artillery brigade, artillery platoon, ran a cannon, shot at the British here. Now, the term "regulated" was not so much a legal term at that time, but a mechanical one. A regulator is any mechanical device used to make something work better. On a steam engine, that spin ball governor to control the speed is the regulator. Now, a well-regulated militia meant a militia with all the proper equipment needed to do their job better. That meant good weapons with good sights. After all, what use is a militia if they can't hit what they're aiming at? And note that the word used is arms, not just firearms, but arms, meaning every possible weapon that might be used in a military confrontation between the government and the people. Swords, knives, axes, what have you. Now, the Second Amendment is not about target shooting or hunting. At the time, hunting was indispensable for survival in the new nation, especially during the winter when food crops were running low. To deprive the people of their hunting weapons was to condemn them to death by starvation in the winter months. And military commanders of the time viewed hunting weapons as off limits. When Lieutenant Colonel George Monroe surrendered Fort William Henry to Major General Louis-Joseph de Montcalm during the French and Indian Wars, the civilian militia serving the British were allowed to take their weapons with them when they left. When the British marched on Concord, triggering the battles of Lexington and Concord and the start of the Revolution, it was to seize a stockpile of military arms, not hunting weapons. The very inclusion of the terms militia, security, and free state, it is clear the Second Amendment is referring to a military purpose here. And the Founding Fathers understood that it was only because the people had been in possession of military arms they were able to resist the economic enslavement of King George III's Currency Act. All right, skipping on down to Amendment 3, and I mentioned this one before. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. And again, this was in response to massive public sentiment over the quartering of troops and constantly being spied on. Amendment 4. This one has all but vanished from our current culture. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Now, this amendment was created in response to the British practice of simply random searches of homes, businesses, and persons. We're seeing Robert Mueller do that today, just going anywhere he can looking for anything he can find. It's not only a violation of the special counsel statute, it's a violation of the Fourth Amendment. It's part of a campaign of intimidation. Now, throughout the years, the Supreme Court has ruled repeatedly that the term effects refers to all effects. That as new technologies have come along, telegraph, radio, telephone, that the right to privacy applies to them all. And hence, based on that legal precedent, it applies to our computers, our phones, our tablets. But the government is ignoring it. The government has clearly gone rogue. Then we have the Fifth Amendment. Most people think that it's just about a guard against self-incrimination. But there's more in there. Let me read you the actual amendment. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger. Now, that one is basically saying you have a right to a trial by grand jury followed by trial by jury. The only exceptions are military courts during time of war or during a declaration of a national emergency. Continuing on with the amendment, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb. That's the double jeopardy rule. If you have your day in court and the jury finds you innocent, that's it. They can't come back at you. Nor shall anyone be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And here's the last part that I was talking about before. Nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. So, Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him. No secret witnesses. To have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. This is all the stuff you hear in that little speech that police give to somebody who's being arrested because of the Miranda ruling. Amendment 7. It suits at common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved. And no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. This was to basically, again, reserve the right of a jury trial to civil lawsuits. Obviously, the founding fathers did not understand how much our currency would inflate in the subsequent years. So when we talk about the blueprint for the new America and making a few modifications to the Constitution, I think that $20 figure can be raised. All right, we're going to take a break for commercials. We've got a caller waiting on the line and the rest of the amendments to go through, and we'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And we're going to take a break from the amendments to take a phone call from Kathleen in Paris. Aloha, Kathleen. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Michael. I wanted to start with where you left off on your show yesterday about the city, I think in Mexico, where they kicked out all the politicians and the policemen, and everything is running along just fine.
Yeah, but boy, I'll bet you a lot of governments around the world are like worried that that's going to get out.
Yeah, could that catch on? I sure wish it could. And I would like to point out that back some years ago, and I was noticing it mainly because I guess I'm living in Europe, but Belgium went with no government for between 500 and 600 days. So going on, you know, 2 years, they had no government. And
well, they had no national government. They still had the local governments, you know, the city governments and everything. But yeah, everything ran great. Everything absolutely ran great, just on the local governments.
And when we say local government, are we talking about just something like administration, you know?
Well, we're talking about the people who keep the buses running on time.
Right. We need this kind of administration, but somebody to collect taxes and put us in jail if we don't pay it. You know, this kind of thing.
Well, if you don't have a lot of government, you don't need a lot of taxes, and I don't think it would be an issue. I think if taxes were reasonably low. When this nation was started, there was no such thing as an income tax. In fact, it was actually banned by the Constitution. There had been an attempt to pass an income tax, I think, right around World War I. The Supreme Court struck it down. The federal budget ran entirely on tariffs, importers and manufacturers, because it was easier to keep track of them than the individual citizens. So you can make a country run without directly taxing the ordinary people. And that's another idea that I'm sure would be considered dangerous in this day and age.
Yes, in preparation for calling you, I looked this up, and it was in 1862 was the first income tax imposed to support the Civil War.
That's right, it was the Civil War, not World War I.
Civil War.
Yes.
Well, that's what it says here. I'm reading it. I looked it up. It says in 1862, to support the Civil War, Congress enacted the nation's first income tax law. And then it was eliminated in 1872. And anyway, what we know now is that in 1913, it got snuck back in when the Fed was created.
Yes.
And in 1913, it was made permanent. And, I think it's illegal, income tax. I mean, they found a way to...
Again, going back to the Constitution, there's no direct non-apportioned taxation allowed. In other words, any taxes collected by the federal government had to be returned to the states in equal amounts. It was a tool for management rather than – it wasn't intended to be a source of wealth for the federal government. And, a lot of pro-tax people, both of them, keep saying that the 16th Amendment repealed that provision of the Constitution. And no, it actually doesn't. The text says nothing about repealing that earlier provision, and the rules of the Constitution are it has to be correct. It can't contradict itself. And then there's the issue about whether the 16th Amendment was actually ratified or not.
Right. But, yes, do we need government?
I think we need some government, but look at this example from down in Mexico. Everybody stepped in and volunteered. Somebody's volunteering to catch the dog. Somebody's volunteering, to have a neighborhood watch and keep an eye on crime. And somebody's volunteering to clean the streets. And so far, it seems to be working. It's certainly working a lot better than what they had before.
And we've got some things like that in the States. I think it's a guy named Brown has a security business. You know, it's a private thing. That doesn't mean that we can't have some security just because we don't have government police with military.
The problem we have with our current government is, after all the money they have taken from the American people, they're not really doing their job. They're not keeping crime down. They're not keeping the borders closed. They're not making sure that our mines and oil platforms are safe. They're not keeping an eye on Wall Street. We're not getting value for money is basically what it comes on down to. And that's a lot of money. Anyway, Kathleen, we got to take another break for commercials. Thank you for the phone call, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Oh. homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And let's get on back to those amendments, those 10 amendments that form the Bill of Rights. And Amendment 8, excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. And this amendment was added in case the two previous amendments failed to protect Americans from politically manipulated courts or investigations, which these days they all seem to be that way. And then we get on to Amendment 9, and not a lot of people know about this one, but it's rather important, especially when we get on back to that issue about having to buy permits for everything from the government here. Amendment 9 says the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. This is one of the most important amendments and yet one of the most overlooked. This amendment says the American people have additional rights over and above those enumerated here, and that the non-inclusion in the Constitution cannot be used as an argument denying those rights. Now, this amendment was added by the founding fathers, who were aware the future would bring changes to the world that they could not predict. Among their own members was Ben Franklin, whose own discoveries and inventions made it clear the world was changing in unpredictable ways. The Ninth Amendment says you, the American people, need and automatically enjoy additional rights that arise as the nation grows, including the privacy of your personal electronic devices. And that is followed up by Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. In other words, the government is supposed to stay within the lines of the powers allotted to it by the Constitution. Now, they broke out of those lines a very, very long time ago. But that's what it says. These two last two amendments, the Ninth and Tenth Amendments, lock in a system where the federal government is supposed to be limited only to those authorities given to it by the Constitution, but the people are assumed to have additional rights. It's a one-way system. It's biased toward the American people, as well as it should be. All right, let's get into some of the news that's happening here. The Democrats, they're out there screaming and crying. I remember when I was a kid and Democrats were all in favor of free speech, civil liberties, and a stronger America. And now they're marching nationwide demanding the abolishment of all U.S. borders and allowing an unlimited tsunami of illegals to flood the country. They're calling literally for the abolishing of all U.S. prisons and releasing all those violent criminals into the streets of America. Obama actually did that back on, I think it was 2014. And this is the important one: abolishing all private sector businesses and implementing a centrally planned, government-run fascist economy to control everything. And there's a word for that if you're my age. It's called communism. That's the system they had in the Soviet Union, and it did not work. They were major, major missteps and failings. Lysenkoism was a good example. People weren't allowed to decide for themselves which way they wanted to go. It was all planned centrally. You will follow Lysenkoism. And it led to massive famine and the Soviet Union literally having to buy wheat and corn from the United States. Now, Ron Paul is out with a very interesting article that feeds right into this all of a sudden very communist bent we are seeing among the liberal Democrats. And he's saying that really cultural Marxism is just like the former Soviet economic Marxism. They just couldn't disrupt the economy, so they've shifted targets. But the goal is still the same, to basically destroy the culture of the capitalist nations and then use that as an opportunity to basically take them communists. So that's what the Democrats are talking about. They want socialism, pure socialism, communism. Now, the problem with communism is that if you take away somebody's incentive to do a better job, they won't do a better job. And under communism, you're getting paid what you're getting paid, and it doesn't matter how good a job you do or even how bad a job you do, the pay stays the same. There's no incentive to move forward. And as a matter of fact, progress in the Soviet Union was very, very slow compared to other places like the United States. Now, on the other hand, I understand that unbridled capitalism, which is now mutating into imperialism, is a problem because you have too much wealth concentrated in too few hands. So you need a middle ground, which is where people can get richer by hard work and cleverness, but there have to be limits and safety curbs. so that they don't acquire so much money, they become a threat to the system itself, which is what happened in this country. Now, Trump's EPA administrator, Scott Pruitt, is the latest Trump administration official to be harassed by a stranger while eating out in Washington, D.C. This apparently happened last night, where this young woman, Kristen Mink, from Silver Springs, Maryland, came on up and just started harassing him over the state of the environment. And I understand that there are concerns about the environment. I understand that there are concerns that EPA is not doing a good job because of corporate interference. But we have to bring back civility to the dialogue, or we're going to be in real trouble. All right, we're going to take another phone call. Dustin in New Jersey, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Do you really think she cares about the EPA, Mike? you know? I mean, you realize, Mike, do you realize these people that, you know, it's Independence Day, the ones who are going to celebrate the 4th of July tonight by shooting fireworks and drinking, they're communists. They're not individuals. They care about the collective, you know, but they'll celebrate Independence Day with their tribe, if you know what I mean, you know, but they're not individuals.
Yeah, I get what you mean here.
You know, so it's like it's sad. They don't like individualism. That's the problem. They're collectivists.
They don't like individualism. They don't like nationalism. They don't like borders. They are really pushing as hard as they can for this one planet, one government, one private central bank, where everybody's wandering around so confused about who they are, they don't even know what restroom to use. That's what they're pushing toward.
You know, it's funny. Look at Hillary Clinton, all these other Maxine Waters. How come they're not collectivists with their people that follow them with their money? They're very individual when it comes to that.
They want us all to be collectivists, but they want to hang on, you know, to their cash. I mean, look at Bernie Sanders. He declared himself a socialist, and he's, you know, got all these houses.
So there's John McCain. He's got a lot of homes, too. It's all a scam. It's a scam. It's about power and money. That's always how it's been throughout the beginning of time of human beings. Hey, Mike.
I disagree with you on that. I think that the founding fathers of this nation really had high ideals and ambitions, and they really did try and set up a government that was going to be beneficial to the general population, but they understood that it was going to be very difficult. And even Thomas Jefferson wrote that he expected this daring experiment that he had created to only last 100 years, because they understood that political power always attracts the very people who shouldn't be allowed to have it, and that corrupting influences always come to work on a government and drive it more and more corrupt until it collapses. But I do think the founding fathers did intend to do a good job. It's not like they needed the government as a livelihood. Back then, they weren't paid to be members of Congress. It was a part-time honorarium only. These men all had their own businesses. And they were men of means and education. And they thought things through. They didn't sit there screaming and pointing fingers at each other like the Democrats do.
Hey, Mike, I want to switch gears real quick if I still have time. It's a Zero Hedge article. It says, U.S. versus China, is it the art of the deal or economic warfare? Now, the article is great, but people need to read the comments section, because you can learn a lot from regular people. You know, it's like, you know, if you buy a car from Japan and pay in dollars, that's a fair trade. Now, do you realize, people don't realize, if Japan sells cars to here, to this country, it doesn't mean we have to sell an equal amount back to them. You know, it's just if you buy a car from Japan, you know, you pay in U.S. dollars, that's the sale right there. So this whole thing of fair trade is, we don't make anything anymore. That's what the bottom line is.
That's the real problem. Nobody wants our products. You know, what we do make, I mean, countries are turning away from the United States military-industrial complex because what they're making is overpriced junk. They're turning to Russia for weapons that operate much better and don't cost as much. And yeah, that's the big problem with our trade imbalance. We've allowed our manufacturing to decline for 30 years, and nobody wants our GMO agriculture. The United States is really in a huge corner here, and that is why they're literally pushing for a new world war to drag the world back to the Bretton Woods Agreement and force everybody to use the U.S. dollar as a global currency, off of which the U.S. economy would make a huge profit.
You know, Trump has sent somebody out to Europe to look for a motorcycle manufacturer to bring back here because Harley-Davidson. People don't realize the parts of Harley-Davidson are made out of the country. They're only assembled here. You know, like the same when India's
yes.
leaving. So, I mean, people need to realize that people, if everybody got paid $35 an hour, that'd be great. But, you know, what about the small businesses? They can't afford to pay $35 an hour. I mean, it's a real mess, Mike, if you think about it. In order to
well,
have an
it
iPhone,
goes back to the fact that, you know, all the wealth is concentrated up at that top 0.1% of our population here. And if it was more evenly distributed, then small businesses, there'd be enough currency in circulation where small businesses could pay $30 an hour. And then the workers would take that money. They'd go to the shopping malls. They'd buy things. And that means the malls would be doing a good business. And the manufacturers and the distribution change and everybody, we're all dying from a lack of liquidity is really what it comes down to. And every time somebody starts screaming about, you know, we've got to lower the minimum wage, and that's not how you revive the economy. It's how you make a fast buck if you're the owner of a business or corporation, but you're not thinking long term.
Yeah, if you lower the wage, people can't consume. It's a basic fact. You know, like, but Mike, do you realize, you know, the what we're in now is just like, if you have, like, would they want to make $15 an hour flipping burgers, well, then they're going to automate because it costs, you know, it's hard to transfer that. You know what I mean? Like, it's too late. You know, it's hard to change when you're in mid, it's like, you know, the horse has left the barn already. You know, I don't know.
Yeah,
how
it really has. And there's another factor as well, because the high paying manufacturing jobs and have gone overseas because the prison industrial complex is now running all the call centers. There are no jobs out there for people who are working in these restaurants to move to where they can earn more money. And so working at a hamburger joint is not supposed to be a career path. It's supposed to be your first job where, you know, you start building credibility that you're a good worker and you get along on the low money until you get a better job. But those better jobs, they're mostly gone.
And how do you fix that? You can't. It's too late. The time to fix it would have been a long time ago. It's just too late to repair. It would take so much to repair what's been damaged, Mike, and I don't think it can be fixed. It's like Humpty Dumpty falling off the wall and he's in a million pieces.
Not unless you're willing, you know, to basically, you know, grab that wealth that's at the top and redistribute it. And, of course, the money junkies are never going to allow the politicians to do that. We're going to have to go through a reset and a crash and restart the country all over with a whole new monetary system and all of the assets denominated in dollars are going to be worthless overnight, and we start putting the money back in at the bottom where it has to be for a surviving economy.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, the system's got to crash in order to fix it. If it doesn't crash, it's going to linger on and on and on, and it's going to be more corrupt, you know, like Rome or Soviet Union.
I don't think it can last much longer. I mean, they're lying to us about all the economic indicators. We're starting to really see the pressure from this open borders insanity. And we're seeing political infighting breaking out into the open. That's not something governments like the public to see. Government has a vested interest in the public thinking everything is running smoothly. It's all going really well. You don't need to worry. But when you have this hatchet fight going on between Robert Mueller and Donald Trump, Peter Strzok, and all the rest of it, coupled with this Maxine Waters-esque harassment of people in the streets, that's making a lot of Americans wonder if this country is going to be around much longer.
And remember, Maxine Waters and Robert Mueller, they might be partly on the same page, but these are different factions. So, yeah, we are fractionalizing there, and it's dangerous. We're in a dangerous time. I mean, I never seen anything like this. I'm 48 years old, and it's pretty crazy, like, to what... Mike, it's going to be scary what's coming, because yep. It's going to get worse with the summer of rage they're quoting now and stuff. I mean, I don't know, but what we saw in Portland could be what, you know, just the start, you know.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that we're going to have a peaceful 4th of July, but at this point, who knows? Obviously, the people on the extreme left have a mindset where they can't give up. They have to keep pushing. Anyway, Dustin, I'm going to have to let you go. We got to do another commercial break. We have another caller waiting on the line, and we will be right back.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to go to the phones to Mike in Alberta. Aloha, Mike. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mr. Rivero, happy Independence Day, first of all. Second of all, I've been a listener since way back in the day when you were making regular appearances on the Alex Jones Show. and you do a great job. Since then, I've gotten my own show over on GCN and had you on a few times. That was a big honor. And I'm calling because I want to discuss the differences in the conception of the United States of America in and Canada in contrast. Now, I don't know if this has ever come across your radar, but last year I found this individual. His name is Doug Force, and he's making a documentary movie. Should be done in a little while, and it's called The Myth is Canada. Now, this man proves that Canada is absolutely a fake country. Its government is completely fabricated. And we went on about this for 2 hours. Like, basically what happened, the Statute of Westminster was signed in 1931, which released all dominions and colonies, okay? So then, fast forward to the 60s, and an act is passed called the British North America Act in Britain's Parliament, brought over to Canada, and enacted as law. So when Canadians are celebrating Canada Day, what they're actually celebrating is a foreign act brought in and subjugating them to the level of a chattel slave to the Crown of England. Now, contrast that to the birth of the United States, and you couldn't have a more exact polar opposite.
Yeah, I can see your point there. And, of course, anybody familiar with Canada realizes that their cultural links to Great Britain are much stronger than those here in the United States. But then we won the war.
It's a really weird setup. And to tell you another thing here, I don't know anybody that has even a shrapnel of respect for the Queen or the royal family. Like, they're hated out here, especially in Western Canada. You know, they'll show you when Prince Harry lands in Ottawa or something, and there's a crowd of people. I don't know where they're finding them, because I don't know anybody that wants anything to do with this anymore. And it's actually being talked about a lot that the West needs to split off from Canada. And the interesting thing about that, there was a member of parliament named Walter Cool in the Jasper riding in Alberta. And back when René Lévesque was up screaming from the rooftops about Quebec separating from Canada and becoming its own country, Walter Cool wrote a letter to him saying, you cannot have a divorce where there was no marriage. So the whole debate about separating from Canada is a non-starter because there is none to begin with. And he's going to prove this in this new documentary. And there's a book you can download called Ho Canada, by R. Roger Smith. And he was actually in Parliament. He was a backbencher at the time that this this whole deal was signed. And so
okay, Mike,
this
Mike,
Lévesque,
Mike,
yeah, okay, yeah.
Mike, I got to put you on hold. We got to take a break here for station identification. Don't hang up. I'm going to come right back to you.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.